We give you the praise and the honor for tonight. We worship you, we honor, we adore you, we magnify you. We pray that not one person will live here the same way they have come. Honor and adoration to your name. Thank you, Master, and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone here tonight to this foundation laying service. For many years, the Mondays used to be a day we had for singles and things like that. But we're going to lay foundation for the conference, which will start full blast tomorrow. We have a clip of welcome from our students. Maybe we'll play it quickly and then we'll go further.
We are students of Destiny Christian Academy, the educational arm of Dunamis International Gospel Center. We say a warm welcome to our 25th anniversary with the theme Exceeding Abundant Grace.
Attendez quelque chose de Dieu. Portez votre regard vers lui et apprêtez-vous à recevoir de lui. Dieu mettra dans votre main exactement ce qui vous attendez de lui.
C'est donc bon de changer mon et nous sommes excités d'être dans sa présence.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. We are going to welcome our pastors, ministers of the gospel who are identified with this ministry for many, many, many years. Tomorrow, all of you from all across the country will appreciate and welcome you tomorrow. But we'd like to appreciate Evangelist and Mrs. Sunday Okuche all the way from Okoye God's Care Mission. We appreciate you, sir. You are welcome. Just to appreciate you, especially tonight, Reverend Goodheart Oekweme. We are happy to also have you in our midst tonight. The Lord bless you in the precious name of Jesus. Before I introduce the third person and final for tonight, I'd like to appreciate everyone who have come from all around the world. We have a delegation here from the United States of America. We have plenty of people who have come, but Evangelist Rob Welch is here tonight. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Please could you be up with the team you came with? He's the president for His Glory Ministry from St. Louis, Missouri, in USA. Pastor Mark lives. Also president of Healing Widows Ministry from St. Louis, Missouri. We have Donnie Clipper, founder of New Life Church, also from St. Louis. Give the Lord the praise. Dr. Warren Glander, he is from Atlanta, Georgia. That's right. That's right. Christian Apologetics. And then we have Mike Osterhoff, director of Foreign Mission for His Glory Ministry in Missouri. Also here, Mrs. Laura Pally, the women director for His Glory. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. We met for the first time with Evangelist Rob about exactly a month ago when I was in Chicago for a program, and he came all the way. So such a humble man. When he showed me his brochure of ministry, I was wondering whether it was a Rahabonke Crusade crowd in Central Africa doing very, very massive, impactful work. And we'll talk more in the course of the program. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. We have also a delegation from Brazil here tonight. Can you all stand and wave your hands to the King of Kings? We are happy to have you. The Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine on you, and you are not returning back the same in Jesus' precious name. And then our pastor from Pakistan, Sharon, it's right there. Can you show us the clip of his service in Pakistan? You have it. You showed us on Sunday. That is pastor. That's right. That's practical ministry. And go on ahead. And what will shock most of you is that these are all indigenous people of Pakistan, and this is Dunamis International Gospel Center, Pakistan. Very, very impactful work. We believe that that land shall be saturated, overwhelmed with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Nations of the world are being hit by the power of God, and we will never remain the same. We have seen so many countries on this foundation night. I believe that the number might double by tomorrow or more. To God be all the praise in Jesus' name. Before this foundational word, we have a father in this land and in this nation, a father in the Christian Association of Nigeria, and also the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria, the very first Pentecostal person to come to the north, to Abuja, to start a church. And this will be like 45 years ago to 46 years ago, thereabout. This place was without form and void. It was nothing. Nobody cared to come towards the north. It was believed that it was a Muslim north, but God sent him here, and he did a lot of groundbreaking for ministries that came after. Reverend William Okoye, we are happy to have you, sir. Can you just say a word of greeting, sir? Just sorry. I'm sorry I'm taking you on the spot without the Lord has helped us to walk with him for a very, very long time, and we are very happy to have him here. He has been, I didn't say he's 45 years old. I said, or 46 years old.
Praise the Lord. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot thank God enough for his gracious hand upon his servant. His servants, actually. Dr. Paul and Dr. Becky Enenche, and the amazing work that God has done and is doing through them. I was telling him the other day, I said, your ministry has proved beyond a shadow of doubt that one can prosper in ministry and grow numerically without compromising the word of God. We are proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. You can prosper in ministry, grow exponentially without compromising the word. That is very, very important. Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. Very, very quickly, 2 Kings chapter 4. It's an introductory night, and we shall not be talking too much. 2 Kings chapter 4, and in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house except a pot of oil.
Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. I speak very briefly tonight on the subject, fresh oil, fresh grace. Fresh oil, fresh grace. My objective tonight is to understand what it entails to connect fresh oil, which inevitably leads to fresh grace. A season like this, a convention season, an anniversary season, is a season where we trust God to connect with fresh oil and connect with fresh grace. It is a season to renew our lives. It is a season to refuel and refire in life and in ministry. Now, we just heard the story of a prophet's widow that passed through terrible situations that made her to weep. A situation that put her two sons in captivity. A situation of shortage. But there was an answer. The answer was in the oil. And the oil brought a grace that spared them. Why do we need the oil? One, fresh oil of fresh grace, and fresh grace is the answer to the tears of life. This woman cried until the oil answered her tears. Fresh oil producing fresh grace is the answer to the tears of life. Whether your own tears or the tears of your generation, anywhere people are weeping, anywhere there is a challenge or a situation, fresh oil, stroke fresh grace. Number two, fresh oil, fresh grace is key to the termination of captivity. These young men were taken as bondmen. They were taken captive. But the answer was in the oil. The captivity of our generation, the captivity of our communities, the captivity of our nations, the captivity of our families can be terminated by fresh oil. Producing fresh grace. Thirdly, fresh oil, fresh grace is key to supernatural supplies. What this woman needed was supplies. Supplies that should end her indebtedness. Supplies that should end the situation of scarcity and poverty. Fresh oil was the answer. There is someone here tonight, and I prophesy to you by the mantle of God upon my life, the oil that is coming on your life and the grace coming on your life in this conference
is going to wipe away your tears and the tears of your family. It's going to wipe away your tears and the tears of your community. It's going to wipe away your tears and the tears of your congregation. It's going to wipe away the tears of your generation. And every captivity, every bondage, every chain that is on your life and on your family's life, I declare the chain shall be broken in the name of Jesus. Get ready for supernatural supplies. Listen, beloved brothers and sisters, we are in a season where God is about to do very massive transfer of resources. The reason is evangelism must happen at a very fast rate. The reason is the nations must be invaded very fast. Pakistan must be overrun very fast. The Middle East must be overrun very fast. China, Japan, Indonesia, Australia, Singapore, they must be overrun very fast. And we don't overrun them with mere words. We overrun them with the resources of the kingdom and with the anointing of God. So God is looking for people. Faithful people, people of character, people of integrity, people like Dr. William Okoye will say, people that if you put them in hell, they are the ones that will change hell. Hell cannot compromise them. That is, you drop them there. Is God speaking to somebody here? God is looking for people to deposit heavy resources in this end time that will rout the kingdom of darkness. And this afternoon, the Lord ministered to me specifically that there is a mantle of wealth that is going to be landing in this conference in another dimension. Another dimension. A mantle of supernatural supply. Supplies that we will use to discipline the devil. Supplies that we will use to tame the devil. Supplies, 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 supplies. One pastor from the south part of the country spoke with me the other day. He said, Pastor, I'm so shocked at what God is doing. He said, one crusade after another. Can you show some of the crusade clips? Massive resources. And yet we don't take an offering on the crusade ground. No, we don't take one dime on the crusade ground. Massive resources. He said, how is that happening? Nobody under pressure. Church not under pressure. Nobody under pressure. Taraba State Crusade. Go on. We don't have all the time. Benue State Crusade. Lagos Crusade. And so on and so forth. This, we can't go on the street and beg for money. Neither will we put the church permanently under pressure for resources. It must come supernaturally, and it is happening right now. Somebody say loud, amen. How many people are in need of fresh oil and fresh grace? In need of fresh oil and fresh grace. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive fresh oil. I receive fresh grace in the name of Jesus. In this conference, I cannot go empty-handed. I receive fresh oil. I receive fresh grace. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord and let's take the journey very, very fast. The fresh oil is needed, the fresh grace is needed, and we must position ourselves. But I have a problem with a prophet that died. I have a little issue. You know, when people don't learn from history, history is repeated. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1 again. There cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets.
A man with a prophetic mantle died like that. And died with his family in problem. I asked the question, what could be the problem? I identified at least four things that was the challenge of this prophet. We will learn that by the way as we proceed on this journey. Number one, there was the absence of the practice of the covenant. God said specifically to all Israelites, thou shalt lend unto nations. Thou shalt not borrow. It is a part of the covenant detail. The same way God told them to bring all their tithes into the storehouse and bring all their resources into the storehouse, there was the lack of the practice of the covenant. The covenant of, so if he was borrowing, it is possible he was not fighting. If he was borrowing, it is possible he was breaking all the other covenants. And this was a prophet. And God is no respecter of title. The absence of the practice of the covenant. If you read all the way Genesis 28 from verse 1 all the way to verse 14, you come across all the details. You shall lend, you shall not borrow. He decided to be a covenant breaker. And when you break covenant, covenant breaks you. It doesn't matter whether you are a pastor or an apostle or a prophet. If you don't understand the covenant, that's it, Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. You don't understand that begging and especially borrowing on the behalf of God is not scriptural. And you don't understand that God is the owner of everything and we are to give him our resources in tithes and givings, irrespective of your tithe. Shortage will continue. Number two, I believe that this man, there was the lack of a functional spiritual covering. A functional spiritual and prophetic covering. It appears so because Elisha was the prophet on the scene at that time. And all the sons of the prophets were meant to be under the coverage of this man. Yet this man wasn't aware of this prophet's situation. No functional spiritual coverage. No functional mentoral coverage. And spiritual covering determines destiny coverage. Your covering determines your coverage. You see, there are so many people pastoring and no one is pastoring them. There are so many people teaching and no one is teaching them. There are so many people demanding submission from people and there is no one demanding submission from them. The centurion said, I am a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. You can never be in authority successfully until you have been under authority. Is God speaking to someone here at all? Until you have been under authority. I know of colleagues and contemporaries from growing up days who have no value for spiritual authority, no value for spiritual covering. Many of them, what they knew 30-something years ago and what realm they were then is what they are till today. Because there is no grace and nothing that pulls them up. Now, this man had a lack of functional. You see, there are those who claim to have a pastor, a mentor, a prophet, just verbally. It's not functional. It's not realistic. There is nothing, no connectivity, nothing. Thirdly, this man had a lack of value and care for family. You see, he had a lack of care and value. That is, you took a loan and gave your children, your two sons, as collaterals. You
gave your two children as collaterals. And the Bible said, anyone that does not care for his own, he has rejected the faith and is worse than an infidel. What shall it profit a man if he leaves the whole world to heaven and lets his family go to hell? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The quality of your relationship with your family is a proof of the quality of your relationship with God. I ended a 3-day fast some time ago, and I was on a dining table breaking the fast and making my children, and they were all laughing with the things I was saying. My daughter was laughing and laughing and laughing, and I was talking, they were laughing. And my daughter said, whatever put you in this mood, please go and do it again. I said it was fasting 3 days. I said, go and fast another 3 days. She was asking her sister, explain to me the word dogmatic. So I said, it is dog that knows mathematics. Or it can drive automatic. They laughed and laughed and laughed. And everything they see, I say something that's very funny. Say, what is this? I just came out from God. Say, go back there. It is hypocrisy that a man says he has a relationship with God and he has quarrel with his wife. I'm not talking about something transcendent. I'm talking on a perennial basis. It's falsehood to say you are progressing with God and there is no progress with man. I tell people, I said, if your wife does not think you are a Christian, you are not. Your wife doesn't think you are a Christian, you are not. Your children don't think you are a Christian, you are not. The people of your life. This man was so reckless that he didn't care for the faith of his family. Please, every pastor, every man of God, every servant of the Lord, and every child of God here, take your wife along, take your children along, take your husband along. Ensure, in those days when I read a book, I gave it to my wife. I just was reading this book. I read this from it. Can you read it too? And she said, why? Well, and the question is, you gave me the book to read? Yes, so that we can be on the same page. So that when I'm talking, next time you know where I'm talking from. So that when I make some decisions, you know the decisions I'm making. This prophet. And you see, the greatest blessing you can get in this world is the blessing of your household. The goodwill of your wife, your husband. Concerning the virtuous woman, the Bible said that her husband shall call her blessed. The goodwill of your wife, your children, your loved ones, the people of your life. And goodwill is stronger than witchcraft. Somebody say aloud, amen. Now, the final thing I saw with this man is that he lacked functional, impactful relationships that could come to his aid in seasons of urgency. He lacked functional, impactful relationships that could come to his aid in seasons of urgency. Functional, impactful relationships. I'm not talking of mentoral now. I am talking of people whose lives you touched that will rally around you in times of confrontation. The way they rallied around the widow that died. You remember that widow? And they came out and brought their cloth and said, this is what this widow gave to us in her life. And they kept on crying until Peter prayed her back to life. The way they surrounded Paul the Apostle. In Acts chapter 14, And in verse 20, when they stoned him and pulled him out as dead, they surrounded him, they stood round about him. The disciples, people he had touched, people he had impacted, people he had affected, they didn't even say one word. They just saturated him with love, saturated him with affection, and that brought him out of frustration. We say who surrounds you determines what you can survive in life. Who surrounds you? There are people who surround your life that multiply your joy and divide your pain. They surround you. Am I communicating at all? It doesn't matter how successful you are. If you don't have successful relationships, you are a failure. I mean, if you don't have success, if you don't have people who can thank God that you were giving birth to, people that God used you to impact and touch, in all realms, you don't have such people around you, that is failure. Am I communicating? This man had no such persons. He had no such people in his life. So the wife was crying and crying and had to cry to a prophet. Am I communicating? Don't be busy for the relationships of your life that God put in your life. Don't be too busy to touch lives, impact lives, and change destinies. Don't be too busy for that. Is God speaking to someone here at all? That was the challenge of this prophet. Once you make up your mind to be a blessing to your generation, you can never be stranded on earth. Once you make up your mind to continuously make deposits in the lives of others, you can never be stranded on earth. Once you continue to touch lives and change destinies, you can never be. But let's move from there and just learn the lessons from the life of the prophet. Now, moving back to the fresh oil, there are things that we learn in this journey of connecting fresh oil and fresh grace. First, God, the prophet asked the woman, "What do you have in your house?" And the woman said, "I don't have anything but a pot of oil." Listen to these first notes on the oil. First, no one is completely empty-handed in life. Nobody. There is something God has put in you. There is something somewhere. But none is totally bankrupt. Elijah had the mantle of prayer. Moses had a rod in his hand. What do you have in your house? Second, what you fail to see or what you despise in your life is what is designed to change your life. What you fail to see or despise in your life. There is something you have. There is something in your life that you are failing to see, or something you are despising that God has designed to use to change your life, to change your status. A gift, a grace, an endowment. This woman said, "I don't have anything." But there was something in the house. What she called nothing was what was needed to change her story. I prophesy to someone here, God will open your eyes to the things in your life, the deposits of your life, the gifts of your life, the graces of your life that will change your life and change your story. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. What is in your life that God will use to change your community and your family? He will reveal them to you. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Third thing to note, God will always take what you have to give you what you need.
He will take what you have to give what you need. He took that oil and produced what the woman needed. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and met the needs of the people. He took the water and turned it into wine. Fourth thing to note is God's possibility is proportional to man's capacity. You see possibility to the extent of your capacity to believe God for it. Get vessels, and I'm coming to that. We don't all have the same results because we don't all see at the same level. And we don't all have the same capacity to believe, capacity to trust, capacity and mentality. Number 5, the most important thing about the oil is the vessel. This is where I will end tonight after I have said a few things. It's the vessel. The oil was a constant, but the vessel was what was needed more than anything. Go and get vessels. Not a few. Vessels. God never lacks oil. And oil is never what is really lacking. What is needed is vessel. Heaven does not lack anointing. Evangelistic mantles are not scarce. Apostolic graces are not scarce. Prophetic mantles are not scarce. Pastoral graces are not scarce. Leadership mantles, wealth mantles are not scarce. What we are looking for is vessel. You hear what I'm saying? It's not scarce. All truths are parallel. The kind of grace we read in the Bible days, and the kind of things we have heard in history, and the kind of things we are trusting God for, they are not scarce. What is lacking is the vessel to carry them. There is an apostolic mantle that can rout this nation. There is a grace that can rout your nation. That can change a whole community. That grace is a constant. What is the challenge is the vessel. That is why I didn't say borrow oil. The oil is not to be borrowed. It didn't say look for oil. The oil is not to be looked for, but look for vessel.
Lord, make me practical instrument for use. Use me, Lord. Lord, make me practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, please use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, Lord. Make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, use me, use me, use me, Lord, Lord. Make me
the Holy Ghost. Please, Lord.
A practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Please use me, Lord. Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Lord, make me a
there are vessels that make God to regret. He said, he repented me that I made Saul king. I regret. He repented me that I made Saul king. He said, I am regretting the creation of man in the days of Noah. He repented God that he made man. And I don't think God wants to continue regretting. So, there are those of us here, your destiny is to be a kingdom billionaire. So that churches are planted at the seat of fire. So that missionaries are sent into missions. Like the kind of guy we saw from Pakistan now. But God tried you with little money. And you proved that you were not original tire. You just busted under pressure. He said, if this man is messing up with this little amount of money, keep him there. Keep him there. Keep him there. Little anointing that you carry. Little anointing that you carry and people and you can and you have already grown wings. God said, I have the mandate of handing over a whole continent to this man's hand. But if I do so, he will go to hell. So let me leave him where he is so he can go to heaven. Am I communicating at all? So if there is anything we are going to be asking God, Lord, I know fresh oil is available. Fresh grace is available. But please, can you make me to be the right vessel? One of the conditions is being available. But it is possible to be available and not be usable. That is God here. And you say, no. It's not every plate in the kitchen you can use to serve visitors. I was talking with God for today. He said, there is nothing any of us have seen that anybody can boast about. Talking about the theme of the conference. Say, nothing that any of us have seen that anybody can boast about. He said, so we must never allow anybody to praise us. And he said, if you say you know how to obey God, it is God who worketh in you to will. And to do of his good pleasure. So that you cannot even please God without his help. That is, I am so dedicated to God. It's God who worketh in you to will and to do. If he didn't work, you are a rebel. So that nobody can have any cause to glory or boast about anything. So please don't forget tonight as you go home to pray. Because we are here for fresh grace, fresh oil. And that is never the problem. It's always available. What is now the problem is the vessel. Let me say one or two things about the vessel and then we shall be going now.
If I am going to carry fresh oil and fresh grace, what is the demand regarding the vessel? Number one, vessel. The vessel must not be leaky. There are leaky vessels. You pour oil in the vessel, the oil is wasted. There are those who are wasters of oil. I will never forget. Revelation I saw in Lagos during that crusade. And I saw people, they were riding on horses and donkeys. And they were just, those ones were moving for show. And he showed, he said, this was what happened before. And then I saw a set of people coming. They were carrying luggage and carrying things and they were riding. And he said, this is what I am doing now. I am giving authority to people with responsibility. I am giving mantle to people with task. He said, there are those who carried anointing before for show. Showmanship. Just for the sake of having power. Just for the sake of having money. I can't forget. So the anointing is heavy, but it was leaked. Souls were not saved with it. Lives were not delivered with it. Nations were not impacted with it. That was one of the reasons why the healing revival in America fizzled away very fast. It was concentrated. Only people like T.L. Osborne and one or two or three others took the anointing to break yokes over nations. T.L. Osborne was the first one to take evangelism to an open airfield. Are you following what I'm saying here today? God will give you that great oil, but what will it leak? Is the vessel a leaky vessel? Is it going to be a wasteful anointing? Is it going to be a wasted anointing? The vessel must not be leaky. Secondly, the vessel must not be dishonorable. It must not be dishonorable. It must be an honorable vessel. Characterless people are not qualified for the oil. It must be honorable. 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 So that your identity is not a liability to the kingdom. Honorable. Honorable. Say vessels of honor. Thirdly, the vessel must be empty. It's empty vessels, not full. Empty vessels. Somebody is asking, what is the meaning of that? The meaning is enormous. Empty. He said, get empty vessels. And he was so serious that he said, when the vessels were full, he set them aside. God does not have much to do with people who are full. He only sets them aside. There are people God has set aside a long time ago. Because they move like this. I'm full. I'm contented. I'm okay. Empty means what? Empty means devoid of self, pride, ego. Devoid. Completely devoid. Empty. 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 I must decrease and he must increase. In John chapter 3 and in verse 30. Devoid of pride. Devoid of ego. Devoid of ostentation. Devoid of an achievement mentality. Devoid of showmanship. Devoid. Empty means devoid of self, devoid of pride, devoid of arrogance.
Empty means, secondly, hungry.
Desperate. Hungry. Desperate. It means, give me hungry vessels. Give me desperate vessels. I don't have anything to do with anybody who feels he's satisfied. I don't have no business with anybody who thinks he has arrived. Give me desperate people. Give me hungry people. Give me people who have space for what I want to pour.
There are many people today. I have a big car, I have a big house. I can travel to America and UK, and I am fulfilled in ministry, fulfilled in life. Is that so? Let me tell you, none of us will ever reach fullness until we see him face to face. If you haven't seen Jesus yet, there is one more step.
If you haven't seen him yet, he said it is when we see him we shall be like him. If you have not seen him yet, there is one more phase, one more realm, one more manifestation, one more assignment, one more task. There is something to do more.
And those that will continue to remain fresh with God are people who have hunger that can't be conquered. Hunger that what? Can't be conquered.
Every level of fresh help from God you see, you appreciate God for it, but you are not yet there yet. You are not satisfied.
Give me empty vessels. Give me hungry vessels. Give me desperate vessels. Give me. Many years ago, I wondered why I didn't see everything I wanted to see on the spot. I've seen everything. That blind eye saw, this one didn't see. That deaf ear heard, this one didn't hear. This one walked out of a wheelchair. Many others are still sitting in the wheelchair. This one lifted the crutch. This one is struggling. This one is running with the crutch lifted. This one is struggling. Lord, what is happening here? You healed one here. You say, well, I am the one healing them. It's not you. At times, I feel under pressure. When I see afflicted people under the pressure of helping them, I'm so helpless. And then one day he told me, he said, it is you, it is me that came to not you. Just accept your responsibility and leave me with the results. Just do what you can do and leave me with what I can do. Then one day he said to me, some things have been left yet to manifest, so you can be maintained in a desperate mood. Am I communicating? Give me hope. The reason why there is no fresh oil is because there are too many satisfied people. They are satisfied with where they are. They are satisfied with what they see.
Some feel they have prayed and prayed and prayed and they haven't seen what they expect to see, so just relax. No.
Can I tell you something? Every time there is a hunger, there is an answer. Desire is proof of potential. What does not exist cannot be desired. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
hungry vessels.
Hungry vessels. Desperate vessels. Yes, they have seen the results. They have seen the manifestations. They have seen the signs. And they have seen the wonders. And they have seen some things. But there are many things they have not seen. And they refuse to be satisfied.
Hungry, desperate. What empty vessels mean, like I said again, available and usable vessels. Available and usable.
That is, God is looking for your attention and he got it. Available and usable vessels.
And finally, empty vessel refers to vessel with capacity. A vessel that is full no longer has capacity. Vessel with capacity.
One thing I know about fasting and praying is it assists, and then word revelation assists in capacity enlargement. Jacob prayed until he became Israel. That is increased capacity. Jacob is a person. Israel is a nation. Capacity. Yes, Lord, I have room for more. I am available. Do more in my life. See, the capacity of Elijah was like the capacity of 1,000 prophets. One prophet. He carried such capacity. And tonight,
I want us to go before God. I am here for fresh grace, fresh oil. And I want you to help me to be that vessel that can carry what you want to give. It is one thing for God to want to give it. It's another thing for you to be able to carry it. But listen to this as I round off. He said, when you go to the room, shut your door. Oil multiplies in the absence of distraction. Shut your door. Oil multiplies in the climate of consecration, in the climate of isolation, in the climate of brutal focus. Grace multiplies for those who can combine desperation with consecration minus distraction. Many of us, many things are looking for our attention.
The Lord spoke to me. He said, many times you want to talk to some people, they are on the phone.
Chat, 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 chat. They are so busy talking with men that they have no time to listen to God.
That technology is a good technology, but a disastrous technology as well. That has ruined many. Do you know that in Korea, the youth, South Korea, the youth are almost lost now. Maybe 0.something% of the youth they are gone completely. If you are talking about born again, maybe 0.1%. They are on the phone from beginning of service to end of service. When the grace is shared, they are not aware. So church just close, can we? God, even here, God says, I want to talk to you, but you are not available.
One day I was in a conference. Man of God came, preached very brutal message, came from India. After he finished preaching, he made a statement I will never forget. He said, Nigeria, the world is waiting for you. This was about the year of 1987. I was seated in the, say, the world is waiting for you. gave a testimony of a Nigerian student in China who planted like 1,000 or 100, I can't remember the number of 1,000 home cells, churches. Nigeria, the world is waiting for you. That thing fired into my spirit like fire. I touched the person seated by me. I said, did you hear what the man just said? He said, what did he say? He said, what he said about Nigeria? He said, which one? We were seated in the same service, heard the same thing, but he heard nothing. And it is what you hear that can change your life. The Lord sent a word to Jacob. It lighted upon Israel. The entrance of the word giveth light and bringeth understanding. And yet the word that could have turned him even if it is a territorial apostle, that word came and passed. And he didn't hear it. Stand up on your feet, people. Stand up on your feet. On this note, we are commencing laying the foundation for this conference. Lift up your hands and just appreciate him tonight for his word to you. Now, not everyone is a pastor and not everyone is an apostle or a prophet, but everyone, we're a kingdom of priests and kings. Every one of us, we have something to offer our generation. Whether it's in the finance realm, in the governmental realm, the political realm, whatever it is, if you need the oil, you must present the vessel. Whatever that oil is, and the vessel must be right. Lift up your hands and let's appreciate him tonight. As you begin to ask God to help you.
Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. It sends me, I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, prepare me, Lord, prepare to be a sanctuary,
pure and holy,
pure and holy, dry and true.
Come on, time.
Lord, prepare me.
Father, I've come before you for fresh oil, for fresh grace. I'm asking today that you will help me to be the right vessel. Search my life and help me, Lord, to get rid of anything that disqualifies me from being the right vessel. Help me, Lord, to be the right vessel for your use for my generation. Lift your voice and speak to God. To be the right vessel. 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 Speak to God. Speak to God.
Lift your hands and just go ahead and worship him. Just begin to make demands on his fire right now. One or two things we'll do and we are true tonight. If the hands are and say after me, oh Lord, make me the right vessel for your use. Make me the vessel of use in your hands tonight. I need the oil. I need fresh grace. Help me to be the vessel. It's my time. Anywhere you are, you want that fresh oil and fresh fire, but you have not given your life to Jesus. You want to be born again, to be saved. Quickly come forward. Please lift your hands up. Don't be distracted by that. Just come forward so you can receive this fresh oil and fresh fire. You know, fire is what is used to prepare vessels, to melt gold, to melt instruments, to melt axe, the axe head, and all the things. That fresh fire is what is coming on you tonight. Lift up your hands. For some tonight, the fire is going to burn impurities. Everything that does not pertain to your life and your destiny. Everything my Father in heaven has not planted in your life. As you are coming forward to make your ways right, just come with your bags and your Bibles. You backslid and you want to be returned back to God, also step forward and join us. You have compromised and you want to become straight, also step forward and join us. Lift your hands high. Those in the front, talk to God and say, Jesus, save me, deliver me tonight. Counselors, you'll help me get them led to Christ. Just hold on first. Hold on there. Now, lift your hands, everyone. Everybody. Close your eyes. God wants tonight to become like the last day of this meeting for somebody. That is, what will happen to you tonight, it will appear as if there's no day left by the massive deposit. Lift your hands up. That's right. The fire to burn the debris and the deposits. Mantles to drop. Oil to flow. So for some, the fire is falling. For the others, the oil is dropping. For another, mantle. That's right. For some, what God gave you before that you lost through carelessness, through unfaithfulness, is being returned tonight. Lift your hands and at the count of five, you will place the hand on your head and scream, I receive. And something, the fire will drop, the mantle will drop, the oil will drop. There will be a restoration. There will be a release. There will be a healing. There will be a deliverance. Father, let it flow. Father, let it drop. Father, let it be released. In the name of Jesus, at the count of five, scream, I receive, and place your hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I receive it. Receive, receive what God has in store for you. Receive fresh vision, fresh hearing, fresh knowing, fresh receiving. Receive grace, receive health, receive mercy. Jesus.